Beach. On Saturday, I'll be speaking in Catonsville, Maryland, at the Catonsville Presbyterian Church on the 50th anniversary of the Catonsville Nine protesting the Vietnam War. Check it out at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
In 2014, one in 68 kids in the U.S. was diagnosed with autism. In 2016, it increased by 15% to 1 in 59. Diagnoses have come as early as 4 years old. Worst of all, about 50,000 teens with autism age out of school-based support programs every year. Autism Speaks has information on this and more. Log on to autismspeaks.org or call 888-288-4762. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy.
Welcome to this edition of the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek, and tis the season, Alan.
It's finally here, right? And, you know, I appreciate this. For all of the students that are about to graduate tomorrow afternoon here at HFC, congratulations. And as, you know, as a teacher yourself, we know that includes a lot of people that we've known for a number of years. We're happy for them, and we're just looking forward to what they are going to do, you know, in the years ahead.
So. Absolutely. It really is bittersweet, I think, for those of us on the other side of the desk. You know, we've had finals all week, of course, and I always ask the students, okay, who's graduating? Who's transferring? Who's going to come back? And for every group, and they all raise their hand pretty excitedly, you just feel you have these mixed feelings because you love them. You know, I know I'm not a fourth grade teacher, I'm a college teacher, but it's the same thing. I mean, you connect and you bond and you want to see them succeed, and our babies are, you know, they're growing up and going off to get into the world and do their thing, and it's a wonderful feeling. Well, and I love it.
I'll come honest. I think it was Tuesday morning when I was walking in. There was a woman, and she was with her family, and they were taking a picture outside of the nursing building. And, you know, I respectfully waited for them to finish taking their picture and just, you know, waited till they were done and clapped and said congratulations. And I think that that's pretty much what we all feel as people who work at the college, for everybody who moves on to whatever is the next chapter of their life.
No doubt about it. Yeah. And I love when our students do make the decision to walk in the graduation ceremonies. We have two, of course, the morning one and then the afternoon one. Our telecommunications students, will be at tomorrow afternoon's event. And that is just a joy to watch. You know, they're so proud and excited and their families screaming from up in the balcony. And I love it. I get the pleasure of being one of the name readers at the ceremony. So,
well, you've got the voice for it.
Well, it's very nice of you, but I get to, you know, they hand me their card and I read their name, and I try to do it not so much like a game show or a come on down kind of, but just here you are and you should be proud. So it's like, Alan Mazurek, woohoo! And everybody, like, you know.
Been there, heard that. That's fine.
Well, you know what I mean, but it's wonderful. So congratulations, as Alan said, to everybody, no matter what you're doing, we look forward to it. And in addition, congratulations and thank you to the parents and the grandparents and the support systems that are absolutely necessary to be in place for a student anywhere, in particular at Henry Ford College, to be successful. We know this doesn't happen in a vacuum or a bubble, so we're very grateful to the support system that you might have played a part of in making this process work.
And indeed, in the second half of the new WHFR Journal, we're going to go through some TED Talks that talk about inspiration and what it is like to, like, finally turn that tassel and move on into the world. So, but before we get to that, we've got really, you know, at the end of the semester, one of our last chances to talk about stuff that's going on here in the community. So
And there's so much going on. Oh my goodness gracious. We are very excited to be joined at this time with two representatives of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. And if you want to know what's happening in the community, you go to the chamber, and that's what we've done. So we have Kelly Vanden Bosch, who is Director of Events and Media Relations, and Renee Aloy, who is the Director of Membership Services. Looking forward to having you maybe pull out some paper, mark your calendar, or if nothing else, remember the website to the chamber, because I think you're going to be intrigued with some of the events that are going to be discussed. But I suppose tying in with what we've just talked about, first of all, ladies, welcome to our show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for having us. Nice to meet you.
Certainly. Yeah. Good to meet you. I am so appreciative whenever there's an opportunity for a teacher to be honored. And the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce is very active in honoring the teachers of the year in this community. Tell us about how long that process has been going on and a little bit about this year's recipients.
Sure, sure. So the Teacher of the Year Awards just celebrated our 21st wow. year of having the event. So yeah, 21 years in progress. And this year we changed the name a little bit. It is the standard name was the Alberta Muirhead Teacher of the Year Awards. Well, this year we changed it to the Alberta Muirhead, hard word, hard name, Teacher of the Year Students Choice Awards, because we just wanted to make sure that it is the students' choice. The students are writing the nominations. They're nominating their favorite teachers. It's not a parent nominating their favorite teacher. It's not a co-teacher nominating a great teacher. It's actually the students nominating those teachers. So we just had our program last Thursday at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, and we dwindled our 2,700 nominations down to the top four. We did, yes.
And say that again. Wait a minute. Okay. 2,700.
2,700 nominations.
That's a lot of nominations.
That was a lot of time and a lot of effort. And we have a great committee. The chamber has an education committee, and Dearborn Public Schools. People that work there, community members, business leaders, they are all part of that.
Nice.
So we dwindled it down to the top four, and we celebrated the top four teachers in the Dearborn Public Schools District. And the teachers were pre-K through second grade, one in third through fifth grade, a middle school teacher, and a high school teacher. So it was fantastic. And this was the first year since I've been part of the chamber, and I've been here 4 years, that all four teachers were present to win, which is great. So we were able to actually get pictures of them with their glass. They got a really cute glass apple from the Glass Academy, and we were able to see the excitement on their faces. So it's a fantastic community event.
Yeah. What an honor just to be nominated.
Right.
And so if we have 2,700 nominations, that means that that our students are really liking our teachers.
That's
here
right.
In the community.
And some of the nominations were just adorable. In fact, Elizabeth Gutierrez is a teacher at Gear Park, and she won the pre-K through second grade, and her student drew a picture, wrote some beautiful words, and then drew a picture of her and Mrs. Gutierrez. And it was like the cutest thing ever. So really great people working for the district. Yeah. Kudos to Dearborn.
No kidding. And kudos to the chamber for being willing to take the time and the effort to recognize. And I'm so glad that all the teachers were able to be there.
Yes, that was fantastic.
That is. They're all winners, but you
they
know,
are.
The highest honor of the honorees. And congratulations to the students for taking the time to reach out. This is a busy time for everybody,
absolutely.
But especially for students as they're anxious and excited and, you know, trying to wrap everything up.
Right.
That's very cool. Very cool. As we move into the, you know, we're in spring now and we're moving towards summer and so on, there are some sort of staples in the community that the chamber participates in very actively and in many cases actually sponsors or hosts.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the next big thing that we want to be talking about?
So like community driven, we have a business builder coming up, which is not one of the big events that I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, but our business builders are a really quick breakfast in the morning this year. It's going to be at the Henry Hotel on May the 9th, and it is a business builder where we have a speaker speak to the people that are there for breakfast. And this year it's going to be Dave Dubinsky, who is the chairman and CEO of Fordland. And if you've been in Dearborn, you know everything that's building up on Michigan Avenue, the Wagner Place development, and he will be referencing that and letting us know about when that's due to be finished, what's going in that space, just really fun stuff about that. And we also have two gentlemen from Cisco who are going to be driving a vehicle vehicle down Michigan Avenue autonomously and telling us it's a smart city initiative. So Dearborn could be a smart city at some point where your phone or your car will let you know, hey, parking's this way. Make sure you turn a left here to go to this parking garage. So that's going to be a blast. We're going to learn a lot of new things next week. So I'm looking forward to that.
And that is open to the public?
It is open to the public. Tickets are available online. You won't actually get a hard ticket. You'll get your names put on a list. And when you come, just let us know your name and we'll find you and you can walk right in.
Neat. Mm-hmm.
It is interesting that, I mean, as a chamber, you have the normal, I guess, what we would consider to be chamber functions, mm-hmm. but you have a company that's like, you know, or not just Ford, mm-hmm. but other, companies that are involved in like technology and yep. moving things forward. It's got to be a very exciting environment, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And we get to know what's going on as it's going on. It's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And for some people in the community, this is an opportunity to have a front row seat mm-hmm. as to what's going on.
Yeah,
if you're interested in this kind of thing.
For sure. If you drive down Michigan Avenue, I'm sure you're interested. So feel free to just go onto the Chamber website and grab a ticket, and we'll see you on the 9th at the Henry. And of course, the Henry is magnificent and gorgeous, and their food is delicious. So the breakfast will be just as great as the speaking.
Very nice. Moving forward, what mm-hmm. else do we have going on?
Yep. So June is a really, really fun big event. June is our Taste of Dearborn. It's going to be Wednesday, June the 20th. If you have not been to Taste of Dearborn before, this is the year you should come. What it is kind of like a pub crawl, or a pub crawl, but it's with all the area restaurants down Michigan Avenue that are chamber members. So this year we have about 22 restaurants that have already signed up to be part of the event, and they are more is coming in every day. But what you would do is come to the chamber on the 20th. Well, you have to buy your tickets first. So you buy your tickets on the website. You come to the chamber on the 20th, and then you hop from restaurant to restaurant and try a free appetizer at their space. They will also have, a lot of them will have drink specials going on too. And we also have a transportation shuttle that'll take you over to where Fairlane Town Center is. And we have four restaurants that will be part of Taste of Dearborn over there as well. And there you can take the shuttle around the Fairlane Circle mm-hmm. and then come back to Michigan Avenue. We also are offering a VIP experience. So if you're interested in doing a wine tasting and a beer tasting, we will have our VIP event that evening at Les Stanford Cadillac in the showroom with live jazz and wine from John Jonah, who does wines, and then we'll have food from Lapita there. And that is from 5 to 7:30 at that space. But you would be able to just hop on a shuttle from there and go to all the other restaurants too. So,
nice.
And I did want to mention that a new restaurant this year, a couple new restaurants have joined. Ford's Garage is one of our stops. Very cool. And Mint 29. And we have Olga's Kitchen from Dearborn Heights that will be housed at the chamber or at the library. And they have some great things that they're going to be serving too. So,
nice.
It'll be a fun event.
Earlier in the season, we had some gentlemen in talking about the restaurant week in Dearborn, which is a little bit of a different thing. So what, just to sort of counter the uniqueness of this versus what that was, this is more of a sort of a community, you know, you can do it as sort of in a communal kind of a way with a mm-hmm. with a group of people and so on. And you're getting the ticket, and that allows you to have the sampling at many places rather than picking one or two. Correct?
Absolutely. And Restaurant Week was a week mm-hmm. of being able to hop into those restaurants. Taste of Dearborn is one evening from 6 to 10. And the ticket is actually a wristband. So whenever you walk to the restaurant that you want to go into, if you have a wristband, you're able to try that dish. And it really is a community event, because if you've ever been driven down Michigan Avenue on the night of Taste of Dearborn, it is a flutter with people.
Yeah.
It is people hopping from spot to spot and enjoying every part of West Dearborn and Fairlane Mall. And one of the biggest draws is Bangkok 96, who has their grill outside, and they're grilling fantastic food right there. And Chef Genevieve, who owns Bangkok 96, is just a gem, and she'll be there handing out the food.
Oh, it's exciting.
Yes.
When we talk about getting involved in events, most of them are of a family affair kind of a nature. And I know we're going to talk about some more family affair events as well. But is this something that you do see groups of families, or is this more, you know, you kind of get together with the girlfriends or your coworkers, or a little bit of everything?
Sure, a little bit of everything. Yeah, I have seen families come, and kids are absolutely welcome. I mean, you know, you can hop from spot to spot, but the kids, Yogurtopia is one of the restaurants, so that's fun. They can grab a yogurt at Yogurtopia, or Brome Modern Eatery has milkshakes, so that's right up at, well, anyone's alley, but kids would really enjoy that. But it really, I do see a lot of people getting out for the night with friends, mm-hmm. And it's a girls' night out, or it's, you know, come together with your work friends. That would be a really good work friend type thing too, just to get to see each other outside of your workspace. So
got it.
A little bit of both.
And that's taking place June the 20th.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tickets already available?
Tickets are available, yep, on our website. And if you have any questions, you can always call the chamber too.
Great.
Yep.
Well, let's remind our listeners, we're talking about events going on through and as a part of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. Kelly Vanden Bosch, who's Director of Events and Media Relations, is here in studio. And Renee Aloy, Director of Membership Services, who has been a little quiet, but we're going to get Renee moving here in just a minute as well. I'm Susan, along with Alan today. And we're talking about the opportunity to sort of graduate from where we've been for the past season, whether it's literal or figurative. And also a way to sort of graduate into this beautiful weather that is upcoming, and we hope to see some this weekend as well. But
yes.
You know, many of these things involve the out of doors, which is cool and very exciting, but not all of them do. We've gone through June at this point, mm-hmm. with the chamber, so what's the next big thing?
Sure. So the next big thing would be in July, which is our chamber golf outing. So that is outdoors, mm-hmm. as well. It is presented by DMC Sports Medicine. So I wanted to just let you know that. And it will be at the Lakes of Taylor Golf Course. It's on Friday, July the 13th. But don't be scared. It'll stay. It's going to be. It's good.
Yeah. I just picked up on that. Sorry. Yeah.
Friday the 13th. We're looking forward to great weather. We always have a lot of fun. It's an 18-hole course, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of people that come to this are businesses that put together a foursome and go out and have fun for the day.
And it's on North Line between, I think, Telegraph and Beach Daily, right?
You are
just
correct.
West of Telegraph.
Yes.
You know, on the south side of the road.
Yes.
A very nice course.
It's a beautiful course.
And I'm a horrible golfer, but it's a very nice course.
Okay. Maybe you need to come this year.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is really that. I mean, everyone thinks they're good, but everyone is just having fun at this event. Really, you do not need to be the best.
I know I'm not good.
Okay. Well, this whole Friday the 13th thing, Alan, it might work for you.
It might.
Could be your lucky year. There you go.
Again, tickets are available right now on the Chamber website, and we love to see new faces, so think about coming.
Is there a meal included, mm-hmm. or a couple of meals, or how does that
for
work?
For sure. So your ticket does include a continental breakfast. It also includes a nice dinner after we do the course. And then you also get drink tickets for the beverage carts, and you also get a ticket for a hot dog at the turn. So yeah, food is involved, as well as drinks.
Excellent. Yeah. And I would think that again, once we get into this nicer weather and everything, people are my dad started his golf league on Monday. In fact, so he's 88, but he's still on that golf league.
Good
for him. Just wonderful. Just loves it. It was a beautiful day to get out. But so I'm guessing the spots will probably go fast. And I know it's a good sized course, but it's not going to hold a million people. So
it is not. In fact, our golf outing, knock on wood, sells out every year. So I would say we're selling them feverishly right now, and they are filling up. So if you are interested, just give me a call or go ahead online and make that, you know, make that reservation to be part of the event, because it does go pretty quick.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and give that contact information while we're thinking about it right now, Kelly?
Sure. So the chamber phone number is 313-584-6100, and you can just ask for me, Kelly Vanden Bosch, or you can go to our website, which is www.dearbornareachamber.org. And that's all run together.
Very good. Okay. We appreciate that. And here again on WHFR, particularly in the new WHFR Journal, we really like to talk about things that are benefiting the community at large. Any community that has a chamber, we know that good things are happening because there are businesses that want to you know, be a part of it, and mm-hmm. you can't have a chamber without businesses. So we know that it's a sort of a symbiotic relationship. And where Renee comes in, I think most excitedly, is no offense, Kelly, but probably my favorite thing that's been going on with the chamber for several years now. So tell us a little bit about the brainchild behind this particular event that's in conjunction with Dearborn Homecoming Weekend, which, as our listeners know, that's something that we're part of every year.
Yeah, absolutely. The Dearborn Homecoming is one of the city's largest events that everybody looks forward to because it is 3 days of fun for the community. And what's nice about this event that I'm going to tell you about, which is Special All-Stars Day, is this event is for special needs children and adults to come and kick off the homecoming before it's open to the public. And this is the seventh year, and we get over 450 people attending, which does include the special all-star and their siblings. Parents and guardians are welcome to come, and they just have such a blast, Susan, honestly. We look forward to this every year.
It's wonderful. What do they get to experience? What's going on for these all-stars?
So the nice thing about it, it is a free event, and it is for not just Dearborn local residents. It is for the Metropolitan Detroit participants. Mm-hmm. And what's nice about it is free, and what it includes is 2 hours free ride time by Wade Amusements, who is so terrific, and they pick selected rides for the special all-stars to go on for free from 9 to 11. The event actually goes from 9 to 12, but that also includes in the shelter we have food, appetizers from Little Caesars Pizza, who's our superstar sponsor. Love them because they, in the particular location, is on Monroe and Dartmouth in Dearborn, who actually sponsors this event and has from day one. We also have Brown Burger there. They're giving out great treats and Del Taco. So you can't miss out on the free appetizers and samples. We have music by Little Jimmy Dearborn, who's also in the shelter entertaining all of the all-stars. And also, of course, we cannot forget about the tennis courts that we have live entertainment from our DJ. We have about 13 other vendors that are providing raffles and games like bowling, spin the wheel, cornhole, and free things are given out to all the families, face painting. So there's just a lot going on between 9 and 12. But I do want to remind everybody that the rides are from 9 to 11. Mm-hmm. And I have to say thank you to the City of Dearborn and the Dearborn Community Fund for allowing us to do this and participate in the homecoming event.
Yeah, it's a wonderful weekend, but this literally is my favorite thing to watch, honestly, for the whole weekend. Alan's going to be joining us for the first time at homecoming this year, so we look forward to that. And really, we get to set up our WHFR broadcast tent literally just next to where the rides are. So we get a firsthand look at the excitement and the sheer joy of the people, young and old, experiencing this, and the family members as well.
Oh,
so that's awesome.
They look forward to this event every single year. They're already calling our chamber mm-hmm. looking for the details because they know now, after, again, this is the seventh year, this is their event. They know it's theirs. They look forward to it. They know where to go for the different details in the event, like the rides and the games and the food. And so this is it. This is, you know, something to look forward to. And I want to say that because of this great event with Special All-Stars, we have about 50 businesses that participate. We are always looking for volunteers. We have at least 60 plus that are there, and we just want our volunteers to be there to cheer on their special all-star. So all of our all-stars have name tags on, so we are cheering them on and customizing that cheer for them. Mm. We are always open for any kind of help that we can get with this event. So,
okay. Is there a pre-registration required for people to participate guests?
There is. It's the same website that Kelly said. It is at the Dearborn Area Chamber.org website, where we do like to know exactly, kind of get an idea of how many people are coming, mm-hmm. so we have enough for them for the food and all the good things that we give out, all the goodies. So we do like to have the have you register ahead online, but also we will take our walk-ins too, for sure.
Now, this to me is what Dearborn Homecoming is all about. This is what any of these kind of events should be about, and it's wonderful that it starts in the beginning of the event and kicks off what hopefully and typically is a wonderful weekend. But not every community, you know, many communities have festivals and things like that, but I don't know very many, if any, down here in this part of the state that does something as unique and special as this. Tell us about kind of how it got started. So it was your idea,
yeah,
sort of.
Yes, it was. It was sort of a family affair.
Actually, we have your mother to thank, I
yes.
think. And then, yeah, so on and so forth.
So thank God. My mom, she's got a beautiful cottage up in northern Michigan in Bel Air, and she attends the Cherry Fest every single year. And she came back down to Dearborn with the idea that the Cherry Fest always has a special needs day. So it is open up to the special needs just for them. And she said, you know, we have homecoming, we should do something for them. So we kind of all discussed it and decided that, you know, we talked to the mayor and he was on board with this, no problem. And so we came up with the name, and we actually called the chamber up in Traverse City and asked, how do you do it? And they gave us all their little details. So with our resources, which we have a lot of them here in Dearborn, we were able to put together something so unique and so exclusive to this group, again, before it is even open to the public, which is just wonderful. It's just, and again, we keep adding things. We also have fur angels that came last year. I want to tell you that, which are therapy dogs. And you don't even know how much these kids love, love, love to see these dogs and touch them and pet them and how great they were to them. So anybody should just come on down, cheer on your special all-star. Another thing that is good about this event is it does introduce the rest of the weekend to these families who may not know of the fireworks and the other things that we have going on. So do come and let me know if you have, if you're looking forward to volunteering or anything you can do, just let me know. I'll be happy to put you to work and get you on board.
All right. Renee Aloy, spelled A-L-O-E, but not like the plant, right?
No. Close enough.
Well, there you go. Ladies, this is just phenomenal information. I know how busy you must be and the entire, you know, community for backing all of these things. But for a new business coming in, and we've got lots of wonderful opportunities for businesses in this Dearborn area, joining the chamber seems to be the thing to do, but you can advocate that much better than I can. So how's the process work?
So the Dearborn Area Chamber is a business organization that helps promote businesses of all sizes, in home-based businesses up to large corporations. The nice thing about our chamber is we manage both Dearborn and Dearborn Heights under one roof. So our footprint is quite large. We do welcome non-local businesses because, of course, anybody you meet could be your future customer. Currently, we have 600 members at the Dearborn Area Chamber, and we are adding more all the time. But we are here to promote your business, connect you with other businesses that make sense that will be your potential customer or client in the future. We have sponsorship opportunities and advertising opportunities that will help get in front of your audience. So this is a great organization to join in addition to your marketing plan that you have out there, because this is face-to-face connections. So we have a lot of options for you to get out there and very affordable. So if you're interested in finding out more about membership, you can also go to our website or feel free to call me. My name is Renee, and I'll give you all the details and how easy it is to get involved and get your name out there.
Very nice. And you know, the bottom line too, when we're running a business, when we're owning a business, there's some anxiety involved, maybe a little bit of stress, and it's not an easy undertaking, but some of this just sounds fun too.
Yeah, I mean,
so that sort of that social component probably is kind of nice too.
Well, and both of us, Kelly and I, are residents of Dearborn, so we have an interest in helping build our community.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're here every day working, but we also live here too. So
yeah,
it's good to know that we're involved and we can be in the know with that too.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, ladies, this has been most interesting and very informative. So we're grateful for your time today, and we look forward to a wonderful season. One more time, give us that opportunity to contact for any of the things that we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
As we wrap up.
Yes, yes. So the telephone number to the chamber is 313-584-6100, and you can ask for Kelly or Renee. We'll get you to the right person, or it might just be us. also, you can go to our website, which is www.dearbornareachamber.org, and we look forward to seeing a lot of you this summer. Thank you.
Certainly.
It's the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. We've got more on the way. Please stay with us.
Nurses Week comes every May. This Monday, May the 7th at 2 p.m., Square One Plus switches gears to honor the over 5 million nursing personnel that make up the American nursing industry with a special presentation, Perspectives in Nursing, Today, Tomorrow, and Into the Future, featuring interviews with LPNs, RNs, NPs and their stories as I, Samuel Tylo, registered nurse of 35 years and Henry Ford alumni, explore the cosmos of nursing specialties and the plethora of both women and men involved in the care of the sick, the elderly, and you. Honor them by tuning in May the 7th, 2 p.m. on 89.3 WHFR. Be there and be square one.
This is the new WHFR Journal here on 89.3, the station making waves. Also online at WHFR.fm. I'm Alan Mazurek. Thanks so much for being with us. We continue our program today, and as we sometimes do on the program, with a series of TED Talks. However, this time we're going to dedicate them to the class of 2018, our graduates here at Henry Ford College, and have some excerpts from a TED playlist, which is called Graduation. Now what? So let's get started with Angela Lee Duckworth, who left a high-flying job in consulting and took a job teaching math to seventh graders in a New York public school, and soon realized that IQ wasn't the only thing separating the successful students from those who struggled. Here she explains her theory of grit as a predictor of success.
When I was 27 years old, I left a very demanding job in management consulting for a job that was even more demanding, teaching. I went to teach seventh graders math in the New York City public schools. And like any teacher, I made quizzes and tests, I gave out homework assignments. When the work came back, I calculated grades. What struck me was that IQ was not the only difference between my best and my worst students. Some of my strongest performers did not have stratospheric IQ scores. Some of my smartest kids weren't doing so well. And that got me thinking. The kinds of things you need to learn in seventh grade math, sure, they're hard. Ratios, decimals, the area of a parallelogram. But these concepts are not impossible. And I was firmly convinced that every one of my students could learn the material if they worked hard and long enough. After several more years of teaching, I came to the conclusion that what we need in education is a much better understanding of students and learning from a motivational perspective, from a psychological perspective. In education, the one thing we know how to measure best is IQ. But what if doing well in school and in life depends on much more than your ability to learn quickly and easily? So I left the classroom and I went to graduate school to become a psychologist. I started studying kids and adults in all kinds of super challenging settings. And in every study, my question was, who is successful here and why? My research team and I went to West Point Military Academy. We tried to predict which cadets would stay in military training and which would drop out. We went to the National Spelling Bee and tried to predict which children would advance farthest in competition. We studied rookie teachers working in really tough neighborhoods, asking which teachers are still going to be here in teaching by the end of the school year. And of those, who will be the most effective at improving learning outcomes for their students? We partnered with private companies, asking which of these salespeople is going to keep their jobs and who's going to earn the most money. In all those very different contexts, one characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success. And it wasn't social intelligence, it wasn't good looks, physical health, and it wasn't IQ. It was grit. Grit is passion and perseverance for very long-term goals. Grit is having stamina. Grit is sticking with your future, day in, day out, not just for the week, not just for the month, but for years, and working really hard to make that future a reality. Grit is living life like it's a marathon, not a sprint. A few years ago, I started studying grit in the Chicago public schools. I asked thousands of high school juniors to take grit questionnaires, and then waited around more than a year to see who would graduate. Turns out that grittier kids were significantly more likely to graduate, even when I matched them on every characteristic I could measure, things like family income, standardized achievement test scores, even how safe kids felt when they were at school. So it's not just at West Point or the National Spelling Bee that grit matters. It's also in school, especially for kids at risk for dropping out. To me, the most shocking thing about grit is how little we know, how little science knows about building it. Every day, parents and teachers ask me, how do I build grit in kids? What do I do to teach kids a solid work ethic? How do I keep them motivated for the long run? The honest answer is, I don't know. What I do know is that talent doesn't make you gritty. Our data show very clearly that there are many talented individuals who simply do not follow through on their commitments. In fact, in our data, grit is usually unrelated or even inversely related to measures of talent. So far, the best idea I've heard about building grit in kids is something called growth mindset. This is an idea developed at Stanford University by Carol Dweck, and it is the belief that the ability to learn is not fixed, that it can change with your effort. Dr. Dweck has shown that when kids read and learn about the brain and how it changes and grows in response to challenge, they're much more likely to persevere when they fail because they don't believe that failure is a permanent condition. So growth mindset is a great idea for building grit, but we need more. And that's where I'm going to end my remarks, because that's where we are. That's the work that stands before us. We need to take our best ideas, our strongest intuitions, and we need to test them. We need to measure whether we've been successful, and we have to be willing to fail, to be wrong, to start over again with lessons learned. In other words, we need to be gritty about getting our kids grittier. Thank you.
Angela Lee Duckworth and a TED Talk that she gave titled Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance. The talk was originally given at the TED Talks Education Conference in April 2013. And at the University of Pennsylvania, Angela Lee Duckworth studies intangible concepts such as self-control and grit to determine how they might both predict both academic and professional success. And that is certainly what we are wishing upon our graduates of Henry Ford College here, with commencement ceremonies taking place tomorrow here on the HFC campus. We are going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more on the new WHFR Journal. Stay with us.
Looking to return to school this fall? Well, fall registration is now open at Henry Ford College. Go online to your WebAdvisor account to register before classes start on August 23rd. If you don't have a WebAdvisor, call the HFC Counseling Office at 313-845-9611 to get started on a path that's future-driven.
Welcome back to the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Thanks for being with us this Friday afternoon as we round out the new WHFR Journal with a look at some TED Talks from their playlist of talks about graduation. Now what? We do this, of course, because tomorrow is going to be the commencement ceremony here at Henry Ford College for all of our graduates, and we certainly congratulate them on everything that they have accomplished during their careers here at HFC and wish them the greatest success going forward, wherever their lives take them. The ceremonies are going to take place at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center here in Dearborn. Sorry if I said it was on campus, but no, it's going to actually be at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. It takes place, there's two assigned ceremony times, one at 10 a.m. and another at 1:30 p.m., so go to your assigned time. Family and friends check with their graduates to figure out which ceremony they're going to attend. They're urged to arrive up to 1 hour early and no later than 30 minutes before the ceremony to obtain desired seating. We're going to continue with another TED Talk that sort of deals with this phase of life for a lot of our students, although we certainly do have students of all ages here at HFC. But we're going to hear a TED Talk from Meg Jay, and she's going to talk about how why 30 is not the new 20. She's a clinical psychologist and has a message for you 20-somethings. Contrary to popular belief, the 20s are not a throwaway decade. She's going to talk that just because marriage, work, and kids are tending to happen later in life doesn't mean that you can't start planning and acting on your future now. So let's listen now to this TED Talk from Meg Jay, Why 30 is Not the New 20, here on the new WHFR Journal.
When I was in my 20s, I saw my very first psychotherapy client. I was a PhD student in clinical psychology at Berkeley. She was a 26-year-old woman named Alex. Now, Alex walked into her first session wearing jeans and a big slouchy top, and she dropped onto the couch in my office and kicked off her flats and told me she was there to talk about guy problems. Now, when I heard this, I was so relieved. My classmate got an arsonist for her first client. And I got a 20-something who wanted to talk about boys. This, I thought I could handle. But I didn't handle it. With the funny stories that Alex would bring to session, it was easy for me just to nod my head while we kicked the can down the road. 30's the new 20, Alex would say. And as far as I could tell, she was right. Work happened later, marriage happened later, kids happened later, even death happened later. 20-somethings like Alex and I had nothing but time. But before long, my supervisor pushed me to push Alex about her love life. I pushed back. I said, sure, she's dating down. She's sleeping with a knucklehead. But it's not like she's going to marry the guy. And then my supervisor said, not yet. But she might marry the next one. Besides, the best time to work on Alex's marriage is before she has one. That's what psychologists call an aha moment. That was the moment I realized 30's not the new 20. Yes, people settle down later than they used to, but that didn't make Alex's 20s a developmental downtime. That made Alex's 20s a developmental sweet spot, and we were sitting there blowing it. That was when I realized that this sort of benign neglect was a real problem and it had real consequences, not just for Alex and her love life, but for the careers and the families and the futures of 20-somethings everywhere. There are 50 million 20-somethings in the United States right now. We're talking about 15% of the population, or 100% if you consider that no one's getting through adulthood without going through their 20s first. Raise your hand if you're in your 20s. I really want to see some 20-somethings here. Oh, yay, y'all's awesome. If you work with 20-somethings, you love a 20-something, you're losing sleep over 20-somethings, I want to see, okay, awesome, 20-somethings really matter. So I specialize in 20-somethings because I believe that every single one of those 50 million 20-somethings deserves to know what psychologists, sociologists, neurologists, and fertility specialists already know, that claiming your 20s is one of the simplest yet most transformative things you can do for work, for love, for your happiness, maybe even for the world. This is not my opinion. These are the facts. We know that 80% of life's most defining moments take place by age 35. That means that 8 out of 10 of the decisions and experiences and aha moments that make your life what it is will have happened by your mid-30s. People who are over 40, don't panic. This crowd is going to be fine, I think. We know that the first 10 years of a career has an exponential impact on how much money you're going to earn. We know that more than half of Americans are married or are living with or dating their future partner by 30. We know that the brain caps off its second and last growth spurt in your 20s as it rewires itself for adulthood, which means that whatever it is you want to change about yourself, now is the time to change it. We know that personality changes more during your 20s than at any other time in life. And we know that female fertility peaks at age 28, and things get tricky after age 35. So your 20s are the time to educate yourself about your body and your options. So when we think about child development, we all know that the first 5 years are a critical period for language and attachment in the brain. It's a time when your ordinary day-to-day life has an inordinate impact on who you will become. But what we hear less about is that there's such a thing as adult development, and our 20s are that critical period of adult development. But this isn't what 20-somethings are hearing. Newspapers talk about the changing timetable of adulthood. Researchers call the 20s an extended adolescence. Journalists coin silly nicknames for 20-somethings like Twixters and Cadults. It's true. As a culture, we have trivialized what is actually the defining decade of adulthood. Leonard Bernstein said that to achieve great things, you need a plan and not quite enough time. Isn't that true? So what do you think happens when you pat a 20-something on the head and you say you have 10 extra years to start your life? Nothing happens. You have robbed that person of his urgency and ambition, and absolutely nothing happens. And then every day, smart, interesting 20-somethings like you, or like your sons and daughters, come into my office and say things like this. I know my boyfriend's no good for me, but this relationship doesn't count. I'm just killing time. Or they say, everybody says as long as I get started on a career by the time I'm 30, I'll be fine. But then it starts to sound like this. My 20s are almost over and I have nothing to show for myself. I had a better resume the day after I graduated from college. And then it starts to sound like this. Dating in my 20s was like musical chairs. Everybody was running around and having fun. But then sometime around 30, it was like the music turned off and everybody started sitting down. I didn't want to be the only one left standing up, so sometimes I think I married my husband because he was the closest chair to me at 30. Where are the 20-somethings here? Do not do that. Okay, now that sounds a little flip, but make no mistake, the stakes are very high. When a lot has been pushed to your 30s, there is enormous 30-something pressure to jumpstart a career, pick a city, partner up, and have two or three kids in a much shorter period of time. Many of these things are incompatible, and as research is just starting to show, simply harder and more stressful to do all at once in our 30s. The postmillennial midlife crisis isn't buying a red sports car. It's realizing you can't have that career you now want. It's realizing you can't have that child you now want, or you can't give your child a sibling. Too many 30-somethings and 40-somethings look at themselves and at me sitting across the room and say about their 20s, what was I doing? What was I thinking? I want to change what 20-somethings are doing and thinking. Here's a story about how that can go. It's a story about a woman named Emma. At 25, Emma came to my office because she was, in her words, having an identity crisis. She said she thought she might like to work in art or entertainment, but she hadn't decided yet, so she'd spent the last few years waiting tables instead. Because it was cheaper, she lived with a boyfriend who displayed his temper more than his ambition. And as hard as her 20s were, her early life had been even harder. She often cried in our sessions, but then would collect herself by saying, "You can't pick your family, but you can pick your friends." Well, one day, Emma comes in, and she hangs her head in her lap, and she sobbed for most of the hour. She'd just bought a new address book, and she'd spent the morning filling in her many contacts, But then she'd been left staring at that empty blank that comes after the words, "In case of emergency, please call." She was nearly hysterical when she looked at me and said, "Who's going to be there for me if I get in a car wreck? Who's going to take care of me if I have cancer?" Now, in that moment, it took everything I had not to say, "I will." But what Emma needed wasn't some therapist who really, really cared. Emma needed a better life, and I knew this was her chance. I had learned too much since I first worked with Alex to just sit there while Emma's defining decade went parading by. So over the next weeks and months, I told Emma three things that every 20-something, male or female, deserves to hear. First, I told Emma to forget about having an identity crisis and get some identity capital. By get identity capital, I mean do something that adds value to who you are. Do something that's an investment in who you might want to be next. I didn't know the future of Emma's career, and no one knows the future of work, but I do know this: identity capital begets identity capital. So now is the time for that cross-country job, that internship, that startup you want to try. I'm not discounting 20-something exploration here, but I am discounting exploration that's not supposed to count. Which, by the way, is not exploration, that's procrastination. I told Emma to explore work and make it count. Second, I told Emma that the urban tribe is overrated. Best friends are great for giving rides to the airport, but 20-somethings who huddle together with like-minded peers limit who they know, what they know, how they think, how they speak, and where they work. That new piece of capital, that new person to date, almost always comes from outside the inner circle. New things come from what are called our weak ties, our friends of friends of friends. So yes, half of 20-somethings are un or underemployed. But half aren't, and weak ties are how you get yourself into that group. Half of new jobs are never posted, so reaching out to your neighbor's boss is how you get that unposted job. It's not cheating, it's the science of how information spreads. Last but not least, Emma believed that you can't pick your family, but you can pick your friends. Now, this was true for her growing up, but as a 20-something, soon Emma would pick her family when she partnered with someone and created a family of her own. I told Emma, the time to start picking your family is now. Now, you may be thinking that 30 is actually a better time to settle down than 20 or even 25, and I agree with you. But grabbing whoever you're living with or sleeping with when everyone on Facebook starts walking down the aisle is not progress. The best time to work on your marriage is before you have one, and that means being as intentional with love as you are with work. Picking your family is about consciously choosing who and what you want, rather than just making it work or killing time with whoever happens to be choosing you. So what happened to Emma? Well, we went through that address book, and she found an old roommate's cousin who worked at an art museum in another state. That weak tie helped her get a job there. That job offer gave her the reason to leave that live-in boyfriend. Now, 5 years later, she's a special events planner for museums. She's married to a man she mindfully chose. She loves her new career, she loves her new family, and she sent me a card that said, "Now the emergency contact blanks don't seem big enough." Now, Emma's story made that sound easy, but that's what I love about working with 20-somethings. They are so easy to help. 20-somethings are like airplanes just leaving LAX, bound for somewhere west. Right after takeoff, a slight change in course is the difference between landing in Alaska or Fiji. Likewise, at 21 or 25 or even 29, one good conversation, one good break, one good TED talk can have an enormous effect across years and even generations to come. So here's an idea we're spreading to every 20-something you know. It's as simple as what I learned to say to Alex. It's what I now have the privilege of saying to 20-somethings like Emma every single day. 30 is not the new 20, so claim your adulthood, get some identity capital, use your weak ties, pick your family. Don't be defined by what you didn't know or didn't do. You're deciding your life right now. Thank you.
Meg J. and her TED Talk on why 30 is not the new 20 here on the new WHFR Journal. It was from the TED conference in February of 2013. We're saluting our graduates at HFC to round out the new WHFR Journal today. I'm Alan Mazurek. Thanks for being with us. And we're going to try and squeeze in one more short one. I mean, no commencement address, and that's we're doing sort of TED Talk commencement address here on the program. No commencement address is complete without a life lesson. And this one's going to come to us, a brief one from a gentleman named Mark Bezos, a life lesson from a volunteer firefighter. He's going to tell a story of an act of heroism that didn't go quite as expected, but taught him a big lesson, which is don't wait to be a hero. That's going to wrap us up on the new WHFR Journal today.
Back in New York, I am the head of development for a nonprofit called Robinhood. When I'm not fighting poverty, I'm fighting fires as the assistant captain of a volunteer fire company. Now, in our town, where the volunteers supplement a highly skilled career staff, you have to get to the fire scene pretty early to get in on any action. I remember my first fire. I was the second volunteer on the scene, so there was a pretty good chance I was going to get in. But still, it was a real foot race against the other volunteers to get to the captain in charge to find out what our assignments would be. When I found the captain, he was having a very engaging conversation with the homeowner, who was surely having one of the worst days of her life. Here it was, the middle of the night. She was standing outside in the pouring rain, under an umbrella, in her pajamas, barefoot, while her house was in flames. The other volunteer who had arrived just before me, let's call him Lex Luthor, got to the captain first and was asked to go inside and save the homeowner's dog. The dog! Oh, I was stunned with jealousy. Here was some lawyer or money manager who for the rest of his life gets to tell people that he went into a burning building to save a living creature. Just because he beat me by 5 seconds. Well, I was next. The captain waved me over. I said, Bezos, I need you to go into the house, I need you to go upstairs, past the fire, and I need you to get this woman a pair of shoes. I swear. So, not exactly what I was hoping for, but off I went. Up the stairs, down the hall, past the real firefighters, who were pretty much done putting out the fire at this point, into the master bedroom to get a pair of shoes. Now, I know what you're thinking, but I'm no hero. I carried my payload back downstairs where I met my nemesis and the precious dog by the front door. We took our treasures outside to the homeowner where, not surprisingly, his received much more attention than did mine. A few weeks later, the department received a letter from the homeowner thanking us for the valiant effort displayed in saving her home. The act of kindness she noted above all others? Someone had even gotten her a pair of shoes. You know, in both my vocation at Robin Hood and my avocation as a volunteer firefighter, I am witness to acts of generosity and kindness on a monumental scale. But I'm also witness to acts of grace and courage on an individual basis. And you know what I've learned? They all matter. So as I look around this room at people who either have achieved or are on their way to achieving remarkable levels of success, I would offer this reminder. Don't wait. Don't wait till you make your first million to make a difference in somebody's life. If you have something to give, give it now. Serve food at a soup kitchen, clean up a neighborhood park, be a mentor. Not every day is going to offer us a chance to save somebody's life, but every day offers us an opportunity to affect one. So get in the game. Save the shoes. Thank you.
A life lesson for our HFC graduates this weekend on the occasion of their commencement ceremony from HFC. This one comes from Mark Bezos from a TED Talk given in May of 2011. On behalf of everybody here at the new WHFR Journal and at the station, we want to congratulate everybody who has worked hard and earned their degrees from HFC. We wish you a great day tomorrow at the commencement ceremony if you're going to be there to walk in person. I hope that you have many friends and family who are there to cheer you on. You certainly deserve it. And best wishes for your future studies or your future careers from all of us here at the new WHFR Journal. Stay tuned. We've got music, A Trip Down Highway 61 with Kitty Love coming up next here on the station Making Waves, 89.3 FM, also online at WHFR.FM. I'm Alan Mazurek. Susan McGraw and I will be back next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for the new WHFR Journal. Have a great week.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dennis Brown II. I've been doing my share of spreading the word about autism awareness for the past few years. I'm passionate about it because I myself was diagnosed with it as a teenager. In 2014, the number of kids being diagnosed with autism was 1 in 68. The Centers for Disease Control now says that figure has climbed to an estimated 1 in 59. That's an increase of 15% and an overall increase of 64% since the year 2000. Boys are four times more likely to be diagnosed with autism than girls. White children are more likely to be diagnosed with it than minority children. Most children are still diagnosed as early as 4 years old. About 50,000 teens with autism are expected to age out of school-based support programs annually. Autism Speaks has information on this and more. Log on to AutismSpeaks.org or call 888-AUTISM2. That's 888-288-4762. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Clarksdale, south of Memphis, Tennessee.